The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, welcome into Bare Bones. I am your host, Danny Meehan, and joining is one of the other regular panel hosts, and that's Kyrie Thompson. Mason is off in Mickey Land with his lovely wife, and
living
so
it up.
I guess, yeah, and I guess it's your and my turn to kind of chop it up on the Bears and preview the upcoming game.
Yo, your head is getting bigger by the second.
I got a dog coming up to me right now wanting attention.
Okay, you know what? That's fair points. I mean, that's why like, I kept the door to this room shut because, you know, one of my cats, at least I got two cats, and one of them would definitely come busting in here just to like be involved with the show. And it's like, bro, like, do you even watch film?
But do you even football, dog?
Yeah, except he's not even a dog. So he's like, no, I don't. But anyway, it's great to be on here with you, man. This is the first solo show we've done, you know, because we've done a couple of Bare Bones episodes. You, me, and Mason. And, you know, now that I'm doing the show more regularly, you know, we're going to be having more opportunities like this. And basically no Mason means, you know, we just get to turn this into whatever we want.
Well, dad's away. Yeah. Dad's gone. So
the kids are taking over and it's going to get weird.
The inmates are running the asylum, as it were.
Oh, that's a deep cut or a semi deep cut. It's a medium
cut. Medium cut.
It's a solid cut.
But we got some interesting stuff to talk about, especially with everything that went on this past week with the Bears and Tyson Bagent and basically how they looked against a completely unserious football team that is the Las Vegas Raiders. So I guess let's start. We'll keep true to the format. The knee-jerk reaction is here, except the doctor is gone. So what was your knee-jerk reaction coming out of that game there, Kyrie?
My knee-jerk reaction is this is a different Bears team than the one that we saw for the first 3 weeks of the season. You can talk about quality of opponent. I can definitely understand that, especially if you want to talk about the opponent they played in week three, which is quite possibly the best team in football, and the Kansas City Chiefs utterly humiliated the Chicago Bears. But there's a clear delineation in the way that the Bears have performed from weeks 1 to 3 to weeks 4 through 7. You can check it out in terms of EPA per play. I mean, they've been a top 10 defense in the league the last 2 weeks. Now that's not weird? Actually, no, the last three weeks, they have been a top 10 defense in the league.
They have been. And, you know, as much as it may be gut-wrenching or kind of vomit-inducing to say it, some of the credit goes to Matt Eberflus, right?
I think a lot of it has to go to him. And it's a weird thing to say. But once the guy realized that you can rush more than four guys at a time and that you can, when you do that, you can tell your corners, hey, I don't know if you can do this, but you can just guard that guy and then you can guard that guy. And I guess we'll see how it works. And once he figured out that part of the equation, what do you know? The Chicago Bears defense started looking decent. And the thing is, they've been a good run defense. I think
they
I saw
have been.
I saw
they've been one of the best run defenses in yards allowed per rush the entire league.
I saw something earlier that blew my mind, that apparently the Chicago Bears have allowed an average per game of, or like an average of 68 yards before contact. That means that you're not getting anywhere running the football on this team. It's been all about these third and longs. Again, they're all about the third and longs or the third downs. They just giving them away. And I think that once Matt Eberflus realized that you can heat quarterbacks up and that can work as a strategy, all of a sudden, you know, this defense looks a little scarier. Like, and in particular, I want to highlight two guys. I mean, so Jalen Johnson obviously looked great this last game. Tyreek Stevenson, I think, continues to improve. I want to highlight the linebackers. We were asking what the hell these linebackers have been doing this season. TJ Edwards has been a monstrosity coming after the quarterback, just always around the football. And Tremaine Edmonds has picks in back-to-back weeks.
Amazing. Like, it's like a night and day difference, right? Like, everything looks like TJ Edwards was racking up a lot of tackle totals, but it almost felt like drinking beer, where he's just getting all, it's just a bunch of empty calories. But now it's like the tackles are, they feel more meaningful. You're seeing him meet these players as they come through the line, and he's reading his keys. He's coming down hard and pause. Just everything seems better about this defense. But I guess we also have to factor in the quality of opponent as well, because I don't know what the hell that Kevin O'Connell offensive game plan was a couple weeks ago. And I don't know I use the term unserious like almost as a joke, but they are like, there's nothing serious about this Raiders team. Except for Max Crosby.
Hoyer. They had Brian Hoyer starting at quarterback. Now I'll say this. I'll say this about the Vikings.
Bears record holder, Brian Hoyer, to you, Mr. Yes. Man.
That's right. How dare I disrespect Bears legend Brian Hoyer? Listen, that year, that year was the first year when that year, 2016, that was the first year that I covered the Bears. So I went down to training camp that year. I went to a couple of practices. That was the last Jay Cutler year and what have you. For a couple of things I remember from that year, aside from Brian Hoyer having his 3 or 4 game stretch where he was going crazy. And we were having this exact conversation of, yeah, great. Brian Hoyer is wonderful, but Jay Cutler is your starting quarterback when he comes back. This is not a serious discussion. Mm-hmm. I remember going to training camp and watching them play. First of all, I knew Jordan Howard was the best running back on the team. Just 2 days of watching it, I called that. It was apparent very early. I feel good about that. Way to go, Kyrie. Brian Hoyer patting the football sounded like a freaking gunshot, like on the football.
Oh God!
I mean, he pats the ball so freaking hard. Like it sounds like you got hurt. Like, are you hurting your hand doing that? It sounds like you're smacking like a brick.
Show me on this anatomically correct football where the football hurt you.
I mean, and then I also remember in like the fourth preseason game, which was like, I think right after that was when they randomly picked up like Josh Sitton or something like that. And they just like scooped him up off the scrap heap or whatever.
Yeah, and after the Packers released him.
They just threw him on the team right quick. And he threw an interception in the fourth preseason game, where it was almost like the one he just threw to Jalen this last Sunday, where he throws an outbreaking route that hangs up in the air. He knew it was bad the moment he threw it. And he was like, like on the broadcast, you could hear him screaming in the microphone as he lets it go, because he knew it was about to get pick sixed. That's what I remember about Brian Hoyer. And it's funny, because I've been a Patriots beat reporter past couple of years when Brian Hoyer has been on the Patriots. I brought that up to him. Like, hey, I remember when you were with the Chicago Bears and like you had to fill in for Jay Cutler. And last time you played the Packers, you know, you got hurt. And he was like, ha ha ha, thanks for reminding me. And then he gets a concussion against the Packers last year when he was actually kind of playing really well. And it's
so what you're saying is you ruined Brian Hoyer's career.
I did.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting out of this.
It was all my fault.
Well, before we go way too back into the Wayback Machine, let's, I guess, talk about the toast of the town, I guess.
I mean, you knew this was coming.
Yeah. And I make fun of it because I live in one of these neighborhoods. I live in Edison Park. I don't, like, sit here and defend the area of which I live. But Tyson Bagent was fine. There, and that's not a bad thing for a Division II rookie from Shepherd University to come in and be fine. But people, the way we're talking about him, it's like, did Jesus Christ in football cleats just show up?
It's like, we found our guy. It's like, and again, this is something I wrote about on the website, on the Windy City Gridiron, that I mean, okay. In addition to all the times we watched this movie with the Bears, I watched this in real time last year covering the New England Patriots, and Matt Jones gets hurt week three, and you go to Bailey Zappi in week four after Brian Hoyer gets hurt, and he comes in and doesn't completely wet the bed. And then everybody's like, oh yeah, look at that Bailey Zappi. And then he goes and beats the Detroit Lions in week five at home, and everybody's like, oh, look at Bailey Zappi, he looks so poised in the pocket, and wow, look at the way he runs the offense, it looks so much smoother than when Mac ran it. And then you had people coming out the woodwork talking, oh yeah, like, I knew Bailey Zappi was better than Mac Jones even in training camp. And I'm like, I watched all them training camp practices, and I don't know what the hell you were talking about. But again, yes, he did well for a rookie who was not supposed to be playing, but you had to take certain things into account. Number one, when it came to Zappi, he had one touchdown pass and led like five field goal drives, a whole bunch of drives stalled out, and they got like 7 points off a pick six. So yeah, it's like, oh, Bailey Zappi put up 29 points on the Lions. Like, no, he didn't. Also the Patriots defense humiliated Jared Goff that day. Oh my God. It looked like the Super Bowl again from a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
And that's what it kind of reminded me of watching Tyson Bagent for an undrafted rookie, you know, D2 from Shepherd University. That's a great performance. A great performance for a guy making his first NFL start.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't ask him to. They didn't ask him to be a starting NFL quarterback. And I know the guys are thinking, yeah, you know, there was more in the game plan, but, you know, we just didn't put it in there. And it's like, okay, which kudos to the Bears. They realized they didn't have to do that because the running game was just straight obliterating the Raiders. They were just running it all up and down and all around. But the thing is, they didn't ask Tyson Bagent to do what an NFL starting quarterback they would do. They just basically asked him not to screw it up, and he didn't. Now, he had like two throws that I would say, like, all right, okay, right? The third down conversion, and he had a good rollout throw to DJ Moore, and the rest of it was like check down, scramble, check down, had, screen, yeah. You know, quick
he had the
hitting.
The long error for his standards, the throw to Tyler Scott up the sideline, or he was coming across the middle. But that's a nice throw, but it's a throw an NFL quarterback should make, you know, like, and
some would point out to you, like, well, Justin Fields doesn't make that throw, whatever.
Oh, for the love of God, it's not Tyson Bagent's performance and Justin Fields' performance. Have
I'm just trying
to
piss
do.
You off.
Oh, I know it's going to work because it's a touchy subject.
Oh, I'm instigating like an MF right now.
Yeah, I can tell. It's you just gotta get you want to put me on my soapbox, and I'm not doing it today. We're not doing this today, Kyrie. We're not doing it. We got the Bulls coming back tonight to make me mad. That will put me on my soapbox too. We're not doing this right now.
Are you sure? Are you sure we don't want to do this? I'm sorry. I'm also looking at the chat right now. And if you know anything about the chats that we're in, and you know the person, you know what just happened, you know that I'm thinking that I want to say something. I'm gonna back off that real fast. I'm gonna let it be. But I think, look, it's have perspective. Tyson Bagent did great at what he was asked to do. Okay.
Yeah.
I absolutely respect it. And they got the win with him playing within the system. Good stuff. I'm happy about that. At the same time, as Jalen Johnson said on 670 The Score, and as pretty much any other Bears player would probably tell you, there's no quarterback controversy here. Everybody knows who the better player at the position is. And again, there are certain things that Tyson Bagent does that you could say, like, man, I kind of wish Justin Fields would do that. But there were a number of big plays that were not even attempted by Tyson Bagent because it was his first NFL start, because he's an undrafted rookie who's trying not to screw up. And
because he literally can't do other things. They had to bring in Nathan Peterman to throw a Hail Mary because Tyson Bagent literally can't throw it that far.
But hey, he threw the ball like 59 miles an hour at the combine in shorts with nobody around.
I don't care.
Oh my God. See, this was a mistake. Let's move on. We're
passing the knee jerk. Let's go cover the injury. So for those who obviously follow along with the show, we normally record live on Thursdays. This is a bare bones. Where Kyrie and I are doing this the old school way. We're recording over Zoom, and it's a Wednesday night, and I've got the week 8 injury report for Bears Chargers. Which, God, the world definitely needs to see this game in prime time, don't they, Kyrie?
Oh yeah, I'm so glad that the NFL refused to flex this game. refused to flex the game. The NBC wanted to get that game up out of there, and the NFL was like, "No, we need some Tyson Bagent versus Justin Herbert."
Whatever. Here we go. So in front of me, I've got the Chargers injury report. Eckler was full go. Everett did not participate. Aldi Gilman, limited. Justin Herbert, full. Jalen Guyton, limited. Khalil Mack was on arrest. And really the only other couple names on there worth mentioning are near the bottom with Joshua Palmer, a DNP, Trey Pipkins, limited, and Rashawn Slater, full go with his shoulder. I mean, it looks like all the important guys are going to be playing. Mack was on a rest day, which is what accomplished veterans get.
Yep.
I mean, hell, Mercedes Lewis gets it every week. Anything on there really of note to you, Kyrie, or is it kind of just like, yeah, it's a middle of the week practice?
Yeah, basically. And I think that tomorrow, being Thursday, will be perhaps more telling for both sides of the equation. But yeah, as it stands, I mean, I think, you know, Gerald Everett maybe is of some interest, but even without Everett, they've got plenty of weapons. They got plenty of guys to throw the football to.
All right. And then to cover the Bears, Brisker was a DNP today with an illness. Nate Davis, again, a DNP. It doesn't sound like he's going to be playing at all this week with that high ankle sprain still bugging him. The major trade acquisition, Dan Feeney, limited with his knee. Justin Fields, right thumb. Expect him to be out another few weeks while the swelling goes down and they evaluate if he needs surgery. Eddie Jackson was limited with his foot. Roshan Johnson was a full participant, meaning he came back and cleared concussion protocol, which is pretty big news, but my guy went nuts this weekend, and I am basking in that a little bit. Braxton Jones was limited on his neck. Khalid Kareem, you know, the massive waiver wire pickup, full participant, yay. Terrell Smith was out with an illness, and Darnell Wright with his shoulder and toe did not participate. The Darnell Wright one, should he continue DNPing, would be concerning if he doesn't play, considering even with his shoulder this past week, I thought he played really well. The guy's a warrior. There's no way around it. No matter how badly I wanted Jalen Carter, I'm not gonna bag on Darnell Wright. The guy, he's playing well as a rookie. They're leaving him on an island more than any other rookie tackle in the league. Yes. He's performing well and he's battling. The guy's a warrior, and you know, credit to him.
And with one arm, I mean, that guy is strong enough to throw Max Crosby like across the field, basically, in the run game. That when I saw that snap, that was wild. And I think if there's anything you can feel good about, regardless of what happens with the quarterback position or guys potentially getting traded or what have you, I don't know what could happen, but that's a building block for the future. That's a good player. He's a dog. He's like you said, he's a warrior. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Darnell Wright progresses as a player. In terms of his injury, this creates an issue because you've already made some moves here. You moved Tevin Jenkins from left to right guard, which I think a lot of people were hating on pretty hard. I definitely don't love it, but he played well. And then you've got Lucas Patrick at center, Cody Whitehair left guard. Going to be really interesting to see what they end up, you know, whether or not Braxton Jones can play, because then I think you've got some questions about who should play right tackle.
You know what? I just want to touch on it. Cody Whitehair was awful against the Vikings. No two ways about it.
Yeah.
He had a nice rebound game this past weekend against the Raiders, where he was a respectable offensive lineman again. I thought he didn't get his lunch absolutely snatched from him. So. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, that's all we're asking for. Don't look abysmal.
Less garbage.
I think the wild card in this, I mean, so obviously the wild card in this is going to be, can Braxton Jones play? If he can't, I would propose something to you. Instead of having Aviante Collins play right tackle, maybe you ask Ja'Tyree Carter to do it. He stepped in a little bit at right tackle already this year. And I think I probably trust him more as a player than Collins. Obviously, that's not a situation I want to see, but I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bears maybe go that direction versus trying to go with Collins and Borum at left tackle. Again, if you're talking about best five, that might be the play.
Yeah, that could be the play. I don't see why not, but I still am holding on hope at some point we're going to see Ja'Tyree play center, because I remember hearing about it, that they were kind of working him in during OTAs and camp.
Yeah.
And it still just hasn't happened. They just apparently refuse to play anyone that isn't Lucas Patrick or Cody Whitehair at center. Like, we don't even get – Dan Feeney's been hurt since he's gotten here, it seems like. And maybe we see Doug Kramer, if that does anything for us. But
No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
All right. Moving on. Let's kind of look at this from the Chargers' perspective. If you're the Chargers, what are you looking at coming into this game against the daunting Chicago Bears offense led by one Tyson Bagent?
I am thinking I want to stop the run, and I want to put like 8-9 people in the box.
This feels like it's setting up for Khalil Mack to just eat everyone's lunch this weekend.
I mean, think about it. If Mack I gotta look at where they both tend to line up. Neither matchup is one that you want. You don't want to see Khalil Mack going up against either Larry Borum or whatever they decide to do at right tackle, whether it's one arm Darnell White, Darnell Wright or somebody else. But I'm curious about this. So let's see by alignment here. Where does our guy Khalil Mack typically line up? On Pro Football Focus right now. Let's see what's up. So he typically lines up. He actually splits the difference almost evenly between being.
Oh, so wherever he decides he wants to exploit you, he's just going to go line up over there.
Yes. So basically, you're going to know where he thinks he's going to take advantage of you based on where he lines up, and in
I have a feeling
I can't help
he's just
myself
gonna
right now.
Destroy Larry Borum. He's just gonna eat. He's just gonna eat him up all day long. It's gonna
well,
be great.
Well, I mean, he might destroy Larry Borum, or he just might destroy whomever's on the other side. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's so much more comforting, right? But then there's also like the Joey Bosa of it all, where
that's a problem too.
Yes,
you know, small problem.
I mean, yeah, you know, just a little matter of like a, you know, top. I mean, when, especially when healthy, like top defensive player in the league.
And it sounds like Derwin James is going to be healthy too, which, you know, sorry about your luck kind of thing. Like, all right.
It's not shaping up very well. And so, yeah, I think that, I mean, when they're both playing, Bosa is also kind of a guy that goes wherever. So he's been on a little bit of a snap count. I feel like a pitch count the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So 30 snaps in week 6, 40 in week 7. So he might be ramping up, but I mean, he spends most of his time on the defense's left side, which would put him over the right side of the offense. But again, he's kind of a guy that also will line up wherever. So I don't think you're getting a whole lot of reprieve no matter what you're doing. So I will say this. I think you got to run the football. You that's got to be the first and last thing that you decide to do. And when that fails, you just get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible. Just hot potato that. Because, I mean, that's basically what Tyson Bagent has been doing. Just literally like, oh, yeah, I got the snap. I don't want this. DJ Moore.
2.1 depth of target.
Average, yes, 2.1 air yards per attempt. The funny thing is that because of the scrambles that Bagent had, his time to throw was actually like 2.8. So it wasn't necessarily short, because there was a lot of just bailing out of the pocket. And a couple of times, like,
yeah, there was at least three or four snaps that I can count where he were, if we're going to crucify Justin for bailing out of pocket, he shouldn't bail on. Tyson did the same thing. And it's to be expected.
He's willing to forgive that because of, again, like, he's playing
white.
his first NFL start. You're fine with that.
Yeah, first NFL start. I have a bad feeling, man. If I'm Brandon Staley, I am just loading the box, jamming the receivers, and just like, make a play, kid. Make a play.
I mean, again, essentially, I'm kind of the mind of DJ Moore down there somewhere. I don't care if he's at the line of scrimmage or if he's down there somewhere. Just where are you at? And throw it that way. Because I feel like if there's one thing about the Chargers, their secondary sucks.
So,
they're awful. They, like,
for those listening, Kyrie
over the
wants
past
to
couple
just
of weeks,
be.
They are so far and away one of the worst secondaries in football that if you can get past the part where Khalil Mack is trying to kill you.
JC Jackson, all that money, and he's just like not playable.
Now he's a Patriot again.
Yeah.
Like that went really well. Awesome. So I think again, basically it's like, okay, if the thing that you fear the most is Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa annihilating your quarterback, don't allow them the chance to annihilate your quarterback. Okay. Get the ball out on the perimeter. And I think right. That's one thing that Tyson Bagent, you know, might do a little bit better at this point, perhaps than a Justin Fields would. Cause he's just literally getting the ball and Luke Getsy told him to throw it over there. And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, so from what I'm taking out of this is all game, Kyrie wants Tyson Bagent to just be throwing his 2 a.m. you up texts to DJ Moore and just yeet those out there all game long.
I mean, I know you saw the efficiency numbers for DJ Moore.
DJ Moore is ridiculous.
And how, like, how... there is a graph out there where it's like, like DJ Moore's like target percentage and efficiency when targeted. And you're just like, you see the cluster of players in like the middle and all that stuff. And it's like,
and
where's
DJ
Moore?
Moore?
And DJ Moore is so far in the top right corner, like above everybody else, that you're like, oh, okay. We're not used to having a Chicago Bears receiver be good in that way. And it's just literally like, here's the thing, and not to you know, tangent too hard off of this, but I feel like it's a point that needs to be made. When you look at efficiency, Justin Fields, there are pockets of his game that have definitely improved. His quick game has actually improved in terms of production. He's still one of the best deep ball throwers in football when he throws the football.
His biggest issue is holding onto the ball. And for whatever reason, something he was really good at, the medium to long game, like the medium, short, medium, long game, he's completely lost that. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure if it's like a trust thing or if he's
I think just it is.
Like, or that or it's like, is it the feeling ghost thing? Like he just doesn't feel he can rip these throws because he's just feeling things that aren't there, which that shows up as well.
It's interesting because, I mean, weeks, it wasn't necessarily that there were a ton of intermediate throws, but weeks 4 and 5, like he was ripping everything. Right?
Yeah.
And he was throwing the ball at about, he was just getting rid of the football. It was like a totally different Justin Fields than what we saw in week 3. And then you get him against the blitz. And basically, I really do feel like it is a trust thing and it is a playing to your strengths thing where they were like, okay, Justin, we don't got time for all that downfield stuff you like to do. It's all got to be quick game. It's all got to be 1, 2, 3 ball out or 1 step ball out. And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to throw the ball to Kari Blossom game.
You mean I got to throw the ball to Mercedes Lewis?
And I think it's like you could see it almost in real time. It's like, I don't want to do this, man. And then he's getting hit. And it's like, Justin, that's the interesting thing, man, because I feel like I said this the other day. You don't see a whole lot of throws where it's like, what the hell, Justin? Where it's like you're just yeeting the ball into double and triple coverage and you're like, what are you doing? But you see a whole lot of non-throws where you're like, what the hell, Justin?
Yeah, like, dude, just rip it or get rid of it.
Throw the football. Because when he throws the football, good things happen.
Yep. It's one of those things. Like, I kind of feel I've been just I will. Mason and I have kind of made the saying like first at the party, last at the funeral kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I've just come to terms with it. The Justin Fields era is in hospice and it sucks. Like, and what's going to happen is, and just because it's the Bears, he's going to get traded to Atlanta or something for like a 5th round pick. And Arthur Smith's going to do what he does well and play to his strength. And he's going to have some sort of renaissance and rekindling of his career somewhere else.
He deserves it. In my opinion, he deserves that because the Bears haven't given it to him. And you could obviously say, look, you gotta play with the circumstances that you're in. And there are certain things that, you know, he's just got to get better at and he's got to progress at. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think any of us would look at what the Bears have done for Justin Fields and say, oh yeah, they totally built this team around him and built to his strengths. They basically spent all last year being like, well, basically, if you die, you die. But if you manage to survive, we might not spend the number one overall pick on a quarterback. Maybe. We'll see about that.
Maybe. We'll think about it.
And he outplayed it to his credit. And then basically they were like, okay, let's give you DJ Moore, which is obviously very good. But then let's basically now ask you to be Andy Dalton. You know, so it's like we're back to square one. Yeah.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
That just makes no sense to me. And it was the same thing like last week watching Tyson. Like the passing concepts were what Getsy wanted to do. He wants the it like I almost like think like the way Mike McCarthy wants to live in his passing game is how Luke Getsy wants to live in his passing, like almost through a pinhole, like death by a thousand paper cuts. We are gonna just nickel and dime you to death.
The difference was though, Matt Nagy had Justin Fields playing with some anticipation.
Yeah.
But I mean
the running game though with Foreman and even Darrington Evans is like you forget about him. He is like a decent running back. Like he came in there in a solid few runs. Where were these running concepts before? Why did they scrap what was working last year, bring it back kind of, scrap it again, and then Justin gets hurt, and here it is again.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the jarring thing because, you know, yeah, I think, as you said, the Justin Fields era is basically on life support, and I don't really see how many ways in which he could rescue this operation at this point because, I mean, even if you play yourself out of the number two pick, you're going to get the number one overall pick from the Panthers at this point, unless something miraculous happens and they randomly become good. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And the thing is, like, if you play yourself out of top five consideration, then it means you might actually, that means your quarterback might actually be decent. So, but is decent good enough to not spend the number one overall pick on a quarterback? And I just don't think that's the case.
Nope.
And I think it's just unfortunate to kind of look back on what was so jarring watching him play so well in weeks 4 and 5 with an opponent, like you could say strength of opponent or whatever. It's not the Vikings are great. It's not like they're world beaters either, but they just do the thing that Justin Fields struggles with the most. Justin Fields could have beat the Raiders too, right?
Yes.
There's no reason. Yes. There's no reason Justin Fields wouldn't have beaten the Raiders. And maybe looked even better doing it. And then maybe we're having a slightly different conversation. But I still think that, you know, this team has started maybe to figure out a little bit of its identity, but I just don't know that Justin Fields is necessarily part of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So let's, I guess, move along because we could spend
forever on this, but you know,
on this subject, but
we got to get out of here in like 10 minutes.
All right. So we'll move on to be a perfectly honest. So something just real honest. We thought, I think about this coming game. For me, it's just how crucial the running game is to putting points up. Deontay Foreman was a revelation this past week and it set up a lot for the offense in terms of like being able to do play action, getting him involved in the short passing game where he scored a touchdown off of it. Frankly, I love that style of running back. These like barbarian workhorse runners who are just going to
runs with hatred.
They're just set on absolute fire. Like just, I don't care that you're in my way. I'm going to throw my body directly into you.
I don't even care if I'm in bounds.
I don't care exactly. So what was your honest assessment of this upcoming game?
That as much as I want to believe that the Chicago Bears might have found something and that it is perhaps more winnable than we thought, that the Chargers are going to force Tyson Bagent to be more than what he was this past week. And I think that maybe there's a little bit more in there than just throw the ball 2 yards past the line of scrimmage, but I don't know that there's enough in there to win this football game. I feel like I'm just having a hard time talking myself into it. I will be perfectly fine seeing Tyson Bagent play a decent ball game. I got nothing against the kid. I'm just saying that it's hard to talk yourself into the Bears winning this because it sounds illogical. That said,
right.
I think that you've got a team that has lost its last two games in the Chargers in just weird ways.
And Brandon Staley is clearly just
cooked.
Yeah, I liked Staley as a coach. I thought, especially with his use of metrics and really just going for it all the time. And even so, you look at the fourth down stuff and the rates, and he's still highly effective at that, probably because he's one of the only coaches who just goes for it so often and he just doesn't care. Like, because, well, the numbers say it's going to work more often than not, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yes.
Like, but
when you've got
just,
Justin Herbert, you should go.
Justin Herbert, by Justin Herbert's standards, he's gone backwards a little bit. And I'm like, that was in that draft class. I remember getting into it in the aforementioned chat you mentioned earlier. He was my QB1 in that draft class. I liked him more than Burrow because of the things he physically can do that Burrow just will never be able to fantasize about doing.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Herbert's a robot built to play football. But regardless, I guess we'll move on to the concussed corner. What was the decision you saw that made you go, huh?
Early in the game where it was like, we're going to ask Deontay Foreman to catch the ball and Darrington Evans to run the ball. And it's like, don't you want to switch those?
Flip a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, to give, you know, them credit later on though. I mean, you know, Deontay Foreman made some plays in the passing game in addition to running like a freaking maniac. And then Darrington Evans ran the ball well too. I mean, so I think that it all worked out, but early in the game, you're just kind of like, so this is what you wanted to do in your first drive. Darrington Evans run the ball for basically nothing. And then, then Deontay Foreman drops a check down. I don't like it.
I question this, sir. Oh God!
Yeah. How about you? What were you thinking?
The thing I just came back to, it was really like what didn't happen the week against the Vikings to now, like what? Why did the running game that you called that worked so well during the stretch where you led the league in scoring last year disappear to start the season, reappear, disappear again, and then Tyson Bagent comes in and you start calling the stuff that works? Like it feels like it's just so weird. Like, it's like almost like every week after Sunday, Luke Getsy gets his slate wiped clean and forgets what works and what doesn't, and he has to learn it all again. It's like, the 51st dates and Drew Barrymore in that movie. Like, just, well, she's wiped clean every morning.
You know what it reminds me of in a way is, again, the team that I've spent a bunch of time covering, the New England Patriots, who have often classified themselves as a game plan team. So there is no specific thing that they go to every single time, like a Sean McVay. You know that they are just going to spam like outside zones and then boot play action off of it. And they're going to do it over and over and over again while they set up different concepts off of that are going to get you tripping, that are going to get you off balance. Whereas they're just like, okay, we're going to game plan specifically to beat this team, which tells me two things. Number one, either you or maybe it's sometimes both, maybe it can be both and, but I look at it sometimes either or. Either you don't think you have the horses to just straight up have a thing that you go back to every single time. Or number two, you just think you're going to outsmart everybody by not doing the same thing every time. Oh yeah, you can't get ready for this. It's like, if I go ahead and have Cole Kmet do the stupid quarterback sneak, it's like, outlaw that play.
Oh, I hate that play so much.
I hate it really, really bad. But that's the kind of thing that I think of. It's, you get guys sometimes that they want to outsmart you by switching it up constantly. But you know what that does when you're switching it up constantly? It puts more on your players and it doesn't allow them to get comfortable. Look at that. You had 2 weeks of telling Justin Fields, take deep shots. Let's go. And then, yeah, I get it, blitz heavy team against the Vikings, what have you. But then you're not going to do any of it?
Nope, none of it.
None of it?
And I anytime he's mentioned in the show, I just got Brian Flores is like my absolute favorite defensive play caller because he does not give a shit. It's great. He will throw things out there that are just like completely ridiculous. But moving on, I have to profess my Brian Flores love anytime he gets mentioned.
I hear you.
So love it, hate it, rehabilitate it. So matchup we hate, matchup we love, matchup we'd like to kind of change up, or something about the teams itself that we would like to change up in the process. The love it, we kind of touched on it, I think, earlier, Kyrie, because the one I initially went to was DJ Moore against the secondary. It should be like a high schooler playing football against toddlers in theory, but it's just a matter of how much life will the Bears offensive line have against those two pass rushers.
It's like Chicago Bears receivers against whomever is in the Chargers secondary, not named Derwin James, potentially.
You have Cole Kmet to take Derwin James out of the equation.
Oh, yeah. Now. I mean, look, but that's how it goes. If like Derwin James is caught up on Cole Kmet, oh, hell yeah. I will take that. I hate the matchup of whomever Khalil Mack is going up against. I hate it a lot.
Sounds like a really bad time.
Absolutely a lot. I would change on the defensive side of the ball. They have been getting better production out of their front, out of their blitzes, all of that. This is something that I think we've all been looking for. I want to see a little bit more of, I saw it for at least one snap. Where Gervin Dexter, or senior, I should say, Dexter senior, is playing the one technique and swallows up a couple of blockers while Zach Pickens beats a guard across his face and runs down to play from the backside as a three technique. Can we see more of that? I mean, I like what Dexter senior has started to become as just a straight up brute strength three technique, just using the gifts that he has. I think if you're going to play him with that second unit, you're going to play him alongside Zach Pickens as they like to do. I want to see that be a one technique and Zach Pickens play a three technique. Because Zach Pickens can't take on double teams, but he can beat you across your face. You know?
Yes.
And so,
this is how they should have been.
I got to give some credit to Justin Jones, man. Can I just do
that? Yeah, Justin Jones, I'm with you because I was ragging on him all end of off season and early in this season, and he's come alive the last couple of weeks, like, and played really well by his standards.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm just like, I look at it like, what do you do here? What do you do?
It's like the Bobs in Office Space.
And I don't know, the brother has been playing some decent football, and he deserves to celebrate it up. But once again, want to see more of my man Dexter Senior, because he is just like he's a beast, and I think that he's getting more and more comfortable. So more of that.
I'm with you. I really didn't have a rehabilitated. I don't know what it is about this Bears and like coaching regimes that just refuse to let guys stay on one side of the offensive line. They just love shuffling it around. I would love for them to just stop that, but I know it's not going to happen. So that would be my rehabilitated if I trusted them to actually do it, but I don't. So I digress, and I'll just say piggyback on yours and say, yeah, let's do that. Easy enough. So this game actually opened with the Chargers at -10.5.
Yeah.
To start last Sunday. The line has since moved down to, I'm looking right here per Chargers wire, to -8.5. So that means people were hammering the Bears to cover, and kind of makes sense when you factor in the Chargers have not been good. The Bears have been playing their best football the last two of the last 3 weeks. Like, I mean, I guess where I'm going with this is, what is your prediction for this game? Do the Bears cover that spread? Do the Chargers cover? Or do the Bears just outright win on a money line? What do you think?
You're making this difficult for me, okay?
Because it's not supposed to be easy. You got me on my soapbox about Justin Fields earlier.
No, it's true. Turnabout is fair play. One ill turn deserves another.
My, how the turns have tabled.
I think the Chargers will cover late. I think that it will be close for longer than people expect. And then this might be the time where a mistake gets made. And the Chargers are able to capitalize and go up by two scores and win the game. But I do feel like this shapes up to be an opportunity for the Bears to be more competitive than people think. I've been feeling that way for a while. I still can't bring myself to say that they're going to win the game. I think that's a little bit too hard for me because I think that look at the circumstances in which the Chargers lost the last couple of games. Like, look, you can look at them and say, yeah, they're 2-4, just like the Bears. And they've got, you know, some bad-ish team tendencies and Justin Herbert hasn't taken the step that you like. And the Bears defense has been improved. And I think that it's probably going to shape up where I don't know that the Chargers go off like, say, the Chiefs did or something like that. I think it can be a little bit tougher. But on the other side of the ball, I mean, Dak Prescott made plays to win that game against the with the Cowboys and the Chargers. He made plays late to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost to Patrick Mahomes, which is like, I mean, six other teams have lost to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs this year in seven games. So
I don't mean to cut. Did you see that Patrick Mahomes stat where he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have 30 plus completion yard games that have gone for 400 yards at 75 plus percent completion percentage? Like he's a mutant. He's a mutant.
He's playing on rookie mode with a 34-year-old tight end who, by the way, is still killing. I mean, let's not act like the dude, like, you know, Travis Kelce isn't killing. But then what are his other receivers, right? Sky Moore, whom I know you're a Sky Moore guy. I know you love your Sky Moore. No, I'm not. Yeah, I thought you were a Sky Moore guy.
No, I'm the Mecole Hardman guy. Get it
well,
right.
Yeah, and now they got your boy back.
Mecole's back.
They got your boy back. But it's like they got like Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman and Rashee Rice, who's better than I thought he was going to be.
Kadarius Toney.
And like Justin Watson. Like those are your wide receivers. None of those guys are like exactly tearing it up. And Mahomes is still just like, yeah, I'm still the best quarterback in football. Not named Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that is, you want to talk about my music. That is my music right there.
I'm going to tell you all right now, do not allow Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl because I will be absolutely insufferable. They will have to ban me from social media. If Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl, because I'm gonna collect every freaking receipt.
I think I even texted you after he got his money this offseason. Like, I cannot wait for the Lamar Jackson FU tour.
Oh yeah,
because this is great. And Todd Monken seems to be settling back in as a play caller in the NFL. You know what? We're going way off the rails. We got to wrap this up.
But we knew this was gonna happen.
No, it's a given. Dad goes away, and all of a sudden you got a problem. We'll finish up with the prediction for the game. What's a bold take you have for this game?
Bold take for this game. Let's see. I'm trying to think if I want it to be offense or defense. Okay, I'm just gonna spit. DJ Moore over 100 yards.
Ooh.
I mean, which wouldn't sound like a Super Bowl prediction, but again, I'm saying this with Tyson Bagent as your quarterback.
Okay. How far is the farthest completion in the air? Over under 12.5 yards.
Over. Let me say in the air, 21 yards.
You're out of your damn fool mind.
They said, look, they're over here. Oh, you know, there was more in the playbook that Tyson Bagent could have done. I want to see it. I want, you know, I got a cannon. Let's see your freaking cannon. Let's go.
Okay. I was actually about to add, I didn't hear Tyson or see much of his press conference. Someone said he said that he has a rifle or a cannon.
He said he's got a cannon. He said he has a
cannon. Then why did your coach bench you at halftime before the throw? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. All right.
I don't have anything to say to this. What about you? Bold prediction.
Bold prediction. I know it's supposed to be for the Bears, but I feel like it's not even that. But I feel like Khalil Mack is going to have that revenge factor to him. And I just think he's going to be living in that backfield and just ripping Tyson Bagent into the ground. But I can't say that because this is a Bears show. Damn it.
Can he kill Tyson Bagent if Tyson Bagent's throwing the ball in 1.5 seconds?
Probably not. No, it'd be very, I mean, depends. Is Larry Borum one-on-one on him? but to answer your question, we're going to get another two-score game from Deontay Foreman.
Let's go.
Yeah. Deontay Foreman is, like, I loved Roshan coming out of Texas. And I think he's going to be a long-term part of the running back room. I don't know that Deontay Foreman will be here past this one season with being on the one-year, what, $3 million deal, whatever it was. But I just love running backs. Like, I loved Marion Barber. I loved the guy Mo Ibrahim out of, you know, Minnesota came out this year. This style of it's probably because it's the style I grew up just loving to watch. So it's always going to hold, like, a special place in my heart. But Deontay Foreman is just a joy to watch play football. And specifically, he's not a good blocker. He's not a good receiver. He is really, really good at the one thing he's really, really good at, which is stick ball and belly run forward.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Just and just, again, angry runs. He's got the scepter. He's got the Kyle Brandt scepter, the scepter of approval. I mean, let's do it again.
That's
what you're here for, absolutely, buddy.
And maybe we'll see. Here's another super bold prediction. In a one-on-one matchup, Cole Kmet's going to actually lose Derwin James in coverage. He's going to put a move on him and get free.
It's giving me, like, Tom Brady on Brian Urlacher vibes.
Urlacher vibes, yep.
He's just going to put a move on him. So it's going to be like a stop and go, like up the seam or something like that. And Derwin's going to, like, fall to the ground, like his knee's going to, like, go in the wrong direction. And Cole Kmet, you know, is going to have to come back to the ball because Tyson Bagent's going to underthrow him. And so he won't score a touchdown.
It's the short old white dude who comes to run 5-on-5s with a bunch of 20 and 30 year olds. And he's got one move, which is the eyebrow fake into the pull-up, but everyone keeps falling for it.
Yes. And yes. Because you think you're going to beat it. and then the next thing you know, you're up in the air, like 2 feet in the air, and homie's going for a layup
or something. And he's at the nail, just hitting the same shot over and over again.
Yes. There we go. That's the Cole Kmet. Or he's going to hit him on a crossing route and just be, like, too big.
I don't know, man. Do you remember what Derwin James did snatching the soul from Travis Kelce?
Yeah, but, you know, Travis Kelce wasn't a, you know, Midwest born, you know, 6'6", corn fed, you know, whatever, from, like, Barrington, Illinois, or wherever he's from.
I hate you. All right, Kyrie, before we head out of here, what you got on the agenda for tonight? Just hanging out with the wife and kid.
I'm going to be not putting my kid to sleep tonight because I've done it for the last 3 days in a row, and I did it all last week while my wife was gone. So I'm going to not do that. I'm a chill. I had myself a little Bacardi and Coke, a little Cuba Libre while we were, you know, doing the show. Maybe I'll have myself another one. How about you?
Oh, I'm going to hang out with the wife and the dog, and I'll probably throw on the Bulls season opener tonight. Basketball is, like, the one sport I allowed myself to completely, like, meatball out on in the moment. Like, football, I've just got I've become a little detached from in terms of that, where like it's much more analysis. And yes, I want the Bears to win, but I refuse to let them ruin my Sundays anymore.
Perfect.
And that's part of growing up. The Bulls just won't allow me to grow up because there's something in my brain that just will not separate it.
Because they're the only franchise that we grew up with that won. So it's like you find yourself thinking like, oh yeah, like you're gonna win eventually again, right?
We're all gonna fall for it. There's gonna be like the run of DeMar DeRozan 30-point games where he's hitting contested 18-footers.
Yeah.
And we're all like, he's back. The king of the fourth is back, and we're gonna do it again, and they're gonna get bitch slapped out in the play-in. And it's, you know, is what it is.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if it's the uniforms or it's the United Center or the intro. I mean, even they changed the intro and stuff like that. I don't know what it is, but there's something about seeing the Chicago Bulls play basketball. It just like somehow takes you back to, oh yeah, man. Do you remember like game five of like the 1997 NBA finals or something? And it's just like, yeah, I do remember that. I watched all that. And that was however many years ago? 20.
And I was six.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we're really not there anymore. So it's almost 30 years ago. So like, yeah, they're not like that. But I'll tell you what, it does take me back to those first couple of years of college when Derrick Rose was there. And that was must see every single night, because I was at University of Chicago and we had like the basic cable downstairs in the lounge. And so it'd be like we get WGN. So, I was hijacking that TV when the games were on WGN.
Oh, man, I would hijack the lobby TVs or the suite TVs in our dorms at SIU, and I would just watch them. And we all have that team like that you remember that really – like the 90s Bulls, like you and I are of the same age group. Like I remember them. I don't appreciate them like I should because I was too little to really understand it. But like the baby Bulls era with like Heinrich and Gordon and Dang and Duhon and Nocioni, like those teams were fun because they worked their ass off to be mediocre and they were never going to win anything. But for some reason, I love those teams. And now the Bulls are talented, but flawed.
Yeah. I mean, look, who doesn't love an underdog that you know deep down in your heart probably isn't that good, but you desperately want to believe that somehow they could potentially be great and screw all those really talented players that haven't gotten you anywhere? We want to go with the scrappy underdog. Am I still talking about the Bulls?
I don't think so. Are you projecting, Kyrie? I feel like you're projecting.
Well, if you know me, you know that that is the opposite of what I think. Talent wins, baby.
Talent wins. All right, let's get out of here, Kyrie. Let's go enjoy our night.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, we'll be chopping it up more.
Oh, we will.